Rich, are your two shots set up?
I'm really sorry. Have they told you what you've undertaken today?
I have spoken to both of you guys.
I was thinking, you must be thinking, hell, I thought we'd doing something about
something.
Birds in the country. This is really why did I sign up to this crap day?
It's all good.
Oh, that's thanks, guys.
Sarah Beeny versus cancer.
3 weeks ago, I found out I had breast cancer. I think the correct diagnosis for what I've got, it's a multifocal invasive ductal carcinoma, which basically means there's more than one. So I've got three lumps in my left breast and none in my right.
It's a grade 3, which is the most active type.
But they have caught it early, so you just need to start treatment really quickly. I've been quite vigilant because my mother died when I was 10 from breast cancer spreading. So I've spent 40 years sort of thinking, shit, it's going to happen. I spent 40 years waiting to be told I have breast cancer. First, I thought, maybe I won't tell anybody and I'll just do the treatment. No one will know and I can make it go away. And then I thought, maybe if I made a film about it, it would help me process that, but also maybe it would help other people who felt they were on their own, because I definitely did have the thought, maybe I should do this on my own. I had this appointment, so I went in and I said, oh, I've got this lump, and I said, here it is, showed them to them, and they went, OK, well, so we're going to send you for a mammogram, then an ultrasound, and then if they're not happy, they're going to do a biopsy. And I was like, what, now? And they went, yeah. Anyway, a week later, they call me back in, and you know you've got breast cancer because they call you in and you can tell from their eyes. OK, so here's a doctor with the eyes, and there's a nurse with breast cancer support nurse with the eyes. You're like, OK, so I've got cancer, what are we going to do about it?
All right, right, we'll see you. Good luck.
I'll be fine.
I know you'll be fine.
Come on. So I'm going to Yeovil now to get my first session of chemo. I've got this line that's been fitted here. They plug this in and then they kind of basically feed poison, cancer poison. And then I wait 3 weeks and then they do it again. And I've got 6 sessions of chemo. That takes me to the 9th of December. And I'll be clear for Christmas. Yes. Then there's the mastectomy, which is where they cut it off, the breast off. I'm going to call them boobs, actually. Breast is such a shit word, isn't it? It's like doctors call them that. It's really horrible, like boob. That's it from now on. Graham's coming to pick me up later. But I just kind of wanted to go on my own. I find going through some of this on my own is where I find the grit, the inner steel.
In a funny way, Sarah's sort of been expecting this to happen almost ever since I've known her, and I've known her a really long time. God, we've been going out for the best part of 30 years, I suppose. There was always that slight shadow of my mum died at 39, you know, I remember at her 40th birthday, it was a really big deal for her. And I really got that.
I'm just not gonna die, you do know that. Like, I've got a whole life, or I'm needed. I've got 4 children. People need their mother.
Sitting at a table in her garden, Sarah tearfully nods, then wipes one of her eyes.
Because the truth is, I kind of needed my mother.
Charlie and Billy.
When you hear the word cancer, you assume the worst, and it hit quite hard, to be fair.
The first thing that ran through my mind, obviously, you know, I don't want to say this because it makes me feel sick to my stomach, but Mum, if Mum were to die from this, and that thought went through my head, and honestly, like, I shriveled up. It was, and I couldn't really imagine or understand what my life would be like otherwise.
Anyway, the boys and Graham are really busy because they have got 2 gigs this weekend. Really, really massive gigs for the band. That's quite a big deal because I'm not going to them. I've never, ever missed anything that my kids have done before.
When she told us, I knew it was quite serious, but I just wanted to know if it was treatable, and luckily it is treatable, but it's not very nice, and she's not... It's not a very nice thing to be going through.
If anyone can get through the stuff that she's going through, it's definitely her.
This is it. Onward and upward. But I don't really want you to film this, so I'll leave you here.
Sarah's husband, Graham Swift.
She's very strong. You know, she really is. It's only in moments of fact, though, she always has been, you know. She's a force of nature. But it's the first time that she's been really sort of frightened for herself.
5 hours later, a small black dog moves out of the way as Graham comes down the driveway leading to the family home in an SUV.
It was a bit scary, but, and it's like, sort of slightly feels like the, that's a lobotomy. It feels like the,
really?
A bit of a headache here. I had a lobotomy years ago.
I was say, there wasn't too much to lobotomise there.
So rude, so rude. No, it feels a bit weird. Got a bit of a headache, but, you know. Boys?
They're now in the house.
You coming to cut off my hair? One of the side effects is that, between my first session of chemo, which is this afternoon, and 3 weeks' time, I'll lose all my hair. And I don't really want to be a victim to whether it's going to fall out or not, so I think I'm going to own that. And I'm going to cut it off. In fact, I'm going to get the kids to cut it off.
Are you sure you want to do it?
No, I'm not at all sure I want to do it, but I'm definitely sure it's going to fall out. And I'm definitely sure I don't want to watch that.
Do you know the really awful thing is that as soon as she cuts her hair off, we can't sort of pretend that it's not happening.
God, this is lovely. It's having so much attention.
Do you know what? Would you like a cup of tea? And then it can be like you're at a real hairdresser's.
That would be lovely. I can donate it to someone to make a wig. With my amount of hair, you could make a smaller wig for a child. It's called Little Princess. I'm going to give my hair to them, and then they can make a wig for someone. I mean, mind you, how many small children want hair like this? They'll probably turn it down with it. They'll open the box and go, Lord, I think not.
You ready, Mama?
With Sarah's light blonde hair divided into sections, 18-year-old Billy cuts some of it off.
How's it feel?
Kind of the same as it did before. If I don't look in the mirror, I won't even know it's happened.
At the end of the day, you're another day older.
Oh, don't! No, I'm empowered.
No,
I'm
it looks
not.
Cool. It looks cool.
I'm really glad that we cut her hair.
Oh, thank you.
Right, last one.
It looks so much better than I thought it was going to. Look, there's a lot of hair there for some small kid, though.
I brought in a mirror so you can see what it looks like.
But I think I'm ready. Don't turn it round.
Sarah studies herself.
Not that bad, is it?
She touches her cropped hair.
It's not that bad at all, is it?
Come on, it's better than my hair.
It's not that bad. It's a terrible haircut. It's
really good.
It makes you look really edgy.
I think I'll sell myself out as the chemo hairdresser from here on in. If you don't like it, it doesn't matter because it won't be there for long.
There's money in that. That's day one of chemo. I mean, I wouldn't say it was enjoyable, but not too bad. Not too bad. Yeah. Only 5 to go.
Graham and all 4 of his and Sarah's sons are on stage at a music festival performing as a band called The Entitled Sons. Graham and 14-year-old Rafi are playing guitars, 12-year-old Laurie's on drums, Billy's on keyboard, and 16-year-old Charlie's singing.
So this next song, we wrote about our mother. We sadly can't make it today because she's just had her first bout of chemo yesterday.
Diagnosis is all good though, so.
Yeah, so it's gonna be right, but just this one goes out to anyone else who's having a bit of a shit time.
And we love you, Mum!
We love you, Mum!
Wearing a red leather jacket, Graham's now backstage.
She doesn't feel too bad at all, but we kind of made the decision that she wasn't going to come today. And yeah, I think it's harder on me than it is on the kids, you know. We do stuff like this together, but she just can't come with this many people, I don't think, because she might catch something, some virus, and then she'd be in hospital on a drip for a whole load of days.
Express thanking you. We don't know what to say. We can ignore much of what you do for us every night and day.
Got loads of videos and photos of last night's car fest, which the boys looked like they were amazing. So, so proud of them. I really wish I'd been there. Really, really wish.
In a consultation room.
Right, so it's lovely to see you today. I'm going to go through all the wig service with you to show you all the different things that are available. Wigs aren't necessarily for everybody, but it's really good for you'll be able to try some on if you're happy to. And then from there, we'll decide what obviously we need to do for you at the end of the consultation.
I want to be able to put it on and just be normal.
Yes, just and be Sarah. Not,
just be me. Yes. Just go to work.
Absolutely.
I actually mainly want to work. I want to turn up. As me. I didn't realise that the NHS have a service where they help you find a wig.
Right, so forehead in. Now, be aware when it initially goes on.
That's what I wake up looking like.
Well, I was just about to say, you'll feel like you've just got out of bed or been dragged through a hedge backwards.
Oh, it's this side bypassing.
Is it? Initially, we have got to calm it down.
God, that's amazing.
So I'm just going to bring you forward a slightly. Right, what I'm going to do now is just try
that's amazing.
Push it off your face a bit. Because where they're new in the box, they tend to be a little bit stiff and starchy.
It reminds me of that fantastic line that Dolly Parton said when someone once asked her who did her hair and she said, I don't know, I'm never there.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all about this, the hairline and this hair. That's all about that,
yeah, isn't exactly.
It?
That's what's going to give it. So, parting-wise, where are you normally? Would you say you're over a little bit?
It's like a messy parting.
Yeah.
It's about sort of...
So it's this modern way of
doing it. I feel a bit humbled, to be honest, because I think I was a little bit negative in how I felt about it, and now I think, God, they're amazing. I mean, really amazing.
Especially with these
So, first of all, they say you've got breast cancer. You sort of interpret that as which coloured coffin do you fancy? And then, you know, then you sort of get over the first bit and the second bit. And actually, that's... All these are... It's sort of like they're all mountains to climb.
And then we can look along, again, the same sort of lines of colour.
Sarah sets her phone on her car's dashboard and starts filming herself.
I was just doing the school run. And I ran my hand through my hair like this, and look, my hair's all falling out. But I know that's the point. It's gonna fall out. And somehow I thought I sort of handled all this. I thought I dealt with all of it, because I cut my hair short and I knew it was gonna fall out. But I have got hair. I've just got short hair, and I spent 2 weeks. Getting used to short hair, and that's okay. I'm sort of fine with that. But now it's just like, it's just all like literally handfuls. Look. Do you know what that feels like? Look.
She grips a handful of her hair, then moves her hand away and opens it. More short strands fall down in front of her, and she stares at them, looking emotional.
After 24 hours of my hair falling out in handfuls, Rafi took this to it. So it's all off. Come.
Wearing a wavy, pale blonde wig cut into a bob, Sarah's now sitting at a computer using a search engine.
Oh, it says you need to submit an access to health record request. So my mother had breast cancer and she was diagnosed at 33. She had cancer for 6 years and she died at 39. She died 40 years ago, exactly, actually. So I've been offered genetic testing to try and find out if there's a hereditary link. But I also wanted to see what the difference was between my diagnosis and hers and see how far cancer treatment has come in the last 40 years. And also, I guess, to look at where cancer treatment is going and what the future holds for it. When I come across something that I'm not really very good at handling, I go into, like, super organised investigation mode, and then I want to know everything about it, and then it's OK. I keep old passports because I think they're quite interesting. There's my mother, how I remember her looking. I remember lots of things about my mother. She was warm and kind, and she was good at cuddling. And she loved mint imperials. I'm going to see if I can get the medical records.
Sarah's now at the chemotherapy clinic.
Has the line been OK, the PIC line? You found that all right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's all been fine.
So it's the red one?
Mm-hmm. So this one, this is, well, it's nicknamed the Red Devil, and you don't really notice it going in.
So the point of the drugs really is to try and shrink the three tumours that I've got, but also if any cells have gone anywhere else, they'll kill those as well.
How are your boys?
Oh, they're all really good, actually. They're all really a bit annoying, to be honest.
They're annoying?
Yeah.
Are they? That's normal, then. That's all right, then. But they're OK. Yeah. Do they talk about it much?
Or... A bit. I think it's hard on my husband than anyone else.
Yeah.
Because he's got to be fine.
Keeping everything going.
Yeah. So, but I can't make it better.
Sarah shrugs.
Honestly, I feel like you're my therapist here. Brilliant.
See, I don't need to sit with you for this one. It can make you feel a little bit headachy and a bit sinusy. And all we need to do then is slow it down.
I'm becoming a bit of a regular here, to be honest. I'm here every third Friday.
This is sort of it, really. I sit here for half an hour and that drips down and goes in. Meanwhile, I'm enjoying the view in the garden and the sun's shining. I've got a cup of tea. And some custard creams. I mean, what's not to like?
The window that Sarah's sitting next to from outside. She picks up a cup of tea and brings it to her mouth. Her head bare, Sarah's now in her kitchen at home. She gestures to a large envelope lying on a counter.
I've got an envelope, which is all my mother's medical records. So, when I first contacted them, they said that they thought they'd been destroyed, and they were definitely scheduled to be destroyed, but they hadn't got round to it. The King's trial. Control patients will be referred for post-operative radiotherapy. So she did a trial, which, I mean, you would, wouldn't you? So chemotherapy will be given every 6 weeks for 2 years. 2 years? The fact that she was on a trial, I mean, there's an element of the fact that it was really hard, but something came out of it. So this is the 23rd of September, 1982. Dear Chris, many thanks for your letter of 13th September concerning this unfortunate lady. As with many other things, she was rather slow to make up her mind concerning the radiotherapy course, but the situation determined itself in the end. I'm afraid, and I gather she died at home on the 22nd of August, 1982.
Her chin trembles slightly. She then looks up from the letter with tears in her eyes.
It's quite harsh.
She turns her attention back to the short, typed letter, which is headed with her mum's name, Mrs. Ann Beeney.
Well, you're never going to say I'm slow to make up my mind, are you? I didn't, definitely didn't inherit that. I know that she wasn't convinced by some of the treatment. My dad said that it was pretty horrific and they didn't feel that the treatment they were given was necessarily the right path. And I think she was, well, it says here, she's rather suspicious of unnecessary therapy. The next step for me, really, is not to do with my treatment, it's just because I'm really interested. I want to find somebody who can translate this lot into words that people like me understand. And they can translate my diagnosis into words that people understand. I'd just like to hold them up against each other and say, that's where we were and that's where we are, because it makes a whole brilliant point of all the pain that my mother went through.
It's 10 days after chemo too, and Sarah's at Yeovil Hospital wearing a lilac hat that covers the tops of her ears.
Today is a scan, so it's an ultrasound where they basically do a scan, which is like a... It's like the barcode scanner in a supermarket, and they scan the outside of the lump and measure it. I've got three lumps, and they total them together, so it's 6 centimetres in total. And today they measure it again and see if it's smaller. I'll be really honest, I am really, really nervous about today.
So, if you would mind to undress from the waist upwards, please.
So, we'll just have a good look around. So, if you could put your arm up on the pillow above your head for me.
The sonographer holds a device connected to the scanner to Sarah's breast, and Sarah looks at the black and white image being displayed on a screen.
It feels smaller.
Does it? That's really good, isn't it?
Like, lots smaller.
Yeah.
But then I thought I might be dreaming and imagining.
Wishful thinking.
I definitely it's more than that.
Yeah. I think it is. It's improving. It's more tricky to see, so that's good news. So, this one here, so that is your marker clip, okay? And then this is that little tumour that's on the in the inside part of your breast. And it looks really similar to what it did when we scanned you in the first place. It maybe is a little bit fuzzy around the edge. That might be, again, wishful thinking, but that would be a good thing if it is. All right, so the changing in texture is not a bad thing.
It's not bigger.
No, it's not bigger. But this one is really hard to find now, so...
The big main one, which is the reason...
Yeah, the one you've came for in the first place. Yeah, definitely looks improved.
OK, and that, you can't really find it.
No. There's, like, vague impressions of it. So, yeah. Good news.
It definitely is responding. And I've only had 2 of 6 chemos, so that's good. There's one big main lump, which is the one I knew was there. And that's the one that is disintegrating. I'm killing it.
A tearful Sarah's now filming herself while sitting on a sofa at home.
So I had a phone call from the oncologist today, who's lovely, and the initial diagnosis said that I needed between 3 and 4 of the first chemo and then 3 and 4 of the second chemo. And I worked that out to mean that after 6, it was the 9th of December, which means that I'd be done for Christmas. And she said, no, you actually, instead of the 3, I'll have the 4. It turns into 4 if you react well, so you don't get time off for good behaviour. I'll be feeling properly pants for New Year, and I'll be between 2 cycles for Christmas, which is fine because, you know, it's only Christmas. It doesn't really matter, does it? I mean, you know, in the big scheme of things. And,
Sarah Beeny versus cancer.
I started by being really sad and scared,
Now it's just a bit grueling. Do you know, it's amazing how this greenhouse is like a, it's a bit like a, it's like my therapy. I never realised how much I needed a greenhouse until I had one. So I've had my first lot of chemo, so they give you two different drugs. And initially it was like 3 to 4 of the first one and 3 to 4 of the second one. Anyway, that lot of chemo is finished and now I've got 3 to 4 of the next one. It feels a bit like a sort of marathon and I'm in the middle of it. You just keep going forward and keep going forward and then you'll see the end. But I can't see the end yet. But I know it is there, so I'm keeping on going.
Now in London, Sarah approaches a grand sand-coloured building with stone columns in front of its entrance.
So having got my mother's medical records, I have to say I found them quite difficult to understand. So I have found Professor Michael Baum, who is meeting me here at the Royal College of Surgeons in the research room. And he was at the forefront of breast cancer treatment when my mother was going through her treatment. And I'm hoping he might be able to explain to me what they mean and how things have changed since then. So what's your first impressions of this?
She was young, 32 at the time, and I was quite shocked, actually, to see that she was so young when she had breast cancer. Mm. And she had a radical mastectomy.
She went in for her operation and thought it was a lump and came up with no breast. It must have been really, really traumatic, actually.
In all good faith, though, was the received wisdom.
So if my mother was alive today, she'd have had a very different treatment, and would that treatment have resulted in a better outcome, do you think?
Yes, unequivocally. She wouldn't have had the radical mastectomy. Going into the operating theatre, not knowing whether she's got breast cancer, having a pathology done when she's asleep, and then waking up to find, oh my God, the breast has gone. In losing that, we've gained other things. We actually have a lumpectomy and radiotherapy. We have surgeons who are specialists in oncoplastic surgery. So even if you've got a deformed breast, there's a plastic surgeon who can correct the deformity on the NHS. It's your right, privilege.
Your options of being reconstructed mean that you will end up as a woman with two boobs, if you want to.
If you want to, it's there, it's available.
I also wanted to ask you about a reference to a chemo trial, which is called the King's Trial. Do you know anything about that?
In the early 1970s, I was one of a team based at King's to advocate this trial with adjuvant chemotherapy. That's chemotherapy following surgery.
So my mother was one of the people on the trial that you were suggesting is a good idea?
Yes, she contributed. It didn't work in the long run, but your mother contributed to the fact that you are here.
In many ways, my mother died and she didn't meet her grandchildren so that I can meet my grandchildren.
Almost perfect, you said it. In fact, I've never heard it said so beautifully and so clearly. The one thing...
Fear is the main reason that I want to make this documentary. I think the fear that people felt 40 years ago was justified because it was really, really radical what was going to happen. And now it isn't in any way the same. And that's amazing.
It's 4 days after chemo 5, and a bareheaded Sarah's sitting up in bed.
Well, this morning I feel utterly terrible. It's Tuesday and I had the chemo on Friday. I didn't sleep at all night. I've got such bad heartburn and indigestion. So I was up all night. And I've got some kind of cold.
Later that day in Yeovil A&D, Sarah's filming herself as she explains, "I had a really, really bad upset stomach and was sick a lot this morning. I feel really awful. In fact, you know what? I had to lie on the floor in the bathroom. Graham found me. I was sweating and really feeling so awful.
So awful.
I don't know why this is so much worse. I thought I'd got away with chemo. I've done four of them. This is my fifth. It shouldn't be that bad." It's now 9 days after chemo, and Sarah's back in A&E. She says, "It's 1 o'clock in the morning, and today's symptoms were this lump here, but all my face is swollen up. They won't let me home, and I'm back on IV antibiotics." The next day, she's outside a small house with a TV crew.
And say goodbye, action!
So today I've been filming the final days for the daytime series that I'm filming. It's 10 days after chemo. Two different types of chemo. The first one I had 4 times and that wasn't too bad. And the second one I have 3 times and I've had the first one and that was bad. I had a debate at 7 o'clock this morning, well, 6:30. I was kind of like, should I cancel or not? I nearly canceled. This is the first time in my life I just think I can't do things. And then I think, God, I'm 50 and I'm really quite fit and I've got a lot of support. If I didn't, this would be horrendous. I'm on my knees, it is. Also really makes you really depressed, this chemo.
Gliding through leafless trees and towards the family home and its snow-covered garden. Inside, the family and other relatives are putting up a real Christmas tree.
Mouth out.
You're right, that's going to be fine. Oh, I don't want to put my hand in there because the cat's been using it as a litter tray.
Oh,
everyone let go.
It's nearly Christmas and we're just getting the Christmas tree up and my brother Dickon and his wife and family are coming over. But even though I'm between chemotherapy treatments and I've still got more to come, I am absolutely determined this is not going to be the cancer Christmas. This is just going to be Christmas. This is just going to be brilliant. We're going to have a really good time.
What I really like about the fairy is that it's got a bald head, and I think that...
Sarah's grinning.
The cancer treatment has been a real roller coaster in all ways, physically and mentally and everything.
The way that Mum feels affects us all as a family massively. So what makes it really awful is that because I know Mum is so strong, when she's struggling a bit, she really is, if that makes sense.
So I've had some genetic testing done and I've tested negative for BRCA1 and BRCA2, which are the most common genes which are associated with an increased risk of getting breast cancer. But I tested positive for a less well-known one called PALB2, which increases the chances of you having breast cancer in the future. So I mean, that's given me lots of things to think about, not least being whether I should take up the option that I've now been given because of it to remove the other boob at the same time to reduce the risk of getting cancer again.
There's nothing of mine on the tree at the moment.
Jolly, just remember, it's not because she doesn't love you, it's because she loves you slightly less.
These aren't things that I say to anyone else, but Sarah's not an earshot. You know, it's probably the most frightening thing I think any human being can be told about their own health. I think it's the fact that they've got cancer. And actually, I think that what we're beginning to learn over this journey is actually, it's not a death sentence anymore.
Look at this one. I think this one almost goes to replace this one.
No.
Hang on.
Is it by you?
I'm not sure.
It's very Christmassy anyway.
It is very festive.
Sarah's in her car.
Here I am, just for Christmas, and I've just had another ultrasound, and they can't find any of the tumours. Shame, eh? What a pity. It was all worth it. That is so brilliant. That is a Christmas present I wanted. So this is
my last chemo and my drip line's coming out. I can have a bath night.
A well overdue bath. Yes, there we are.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, so breath in, okay. And breathe out slowly.
A long, thin tube's pulled out of Sarah's arm.
Was it?
Sarah's now in her parked car.
I just walked out of St. Margaret's Hospice. I've had my last chemo. They took out my PICC line. And whilst it's been lovely visiting, I'm not coming back. I'm done. Brilliant.
It's another day, and Sarah gets in her car wearing a knitted hat. Now she's driving.
So chemo's all finished, and the next step is surgery. I've realised there's a massive range of options which are based around whether you reconstruct immediately or later, and how you reconstruct, and whether you do one boob or two boobs. You are entitled with the NHS to go and get a second opinion. So I've kind of gone around a few hospitals. One of them is the Royal Marsden Hospital in London, which is a specialist cancer hospital. So I also wanted to do a bit more research into the PALB2 gene mutation that I've got. So I met with Professor Claire Turnbull at the Institute of Cancer Research to really understand the impact of what PALB2 and having it means. So Claire has explained to me that having PALB2 increases my risk of getting cancer in the other boob. But if you put that together with my family history, my age, the fact I've had cancer already, when you look at all those factors, it's informed my decision to have an elective preventative mastectomy on the other side as well. Can't quite face going through all of chemo and another mastectomy, you know, a year or two down the line. So I'm still working on my side project, which is to find out how cancer care and cancer treatment is changing. So I found out a lot about the past when my mum was having treatment, and I definitely know about the present. So now I want to find out about the future. Whilst I'm in London, I'm going to go and visit Imperial College, because there's an inventor there called Professor Zoltán Tokarcs, who I'd like to talk to, because he's invented a machine that I think will be really, really interesting in the future of cancer surgery. Hi, Zoltán. Hi, I'm Sarah. Hello. Hi.
Nice.
How are you? Lovely to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
So, tell me, is this the machine?
So this is the machine. This is the iKnife machine as it stands. How it works is that this handpiece, or pencil, as the surgeons often call it, has a tubing attached to it. So you can imagine that the actual surgical process is generating quite a lot of smoke. This instrument can tell what kind of molecules were in the smoke. Okay, so we have a chicken liver and we have pork liver. The chicken liver represents the cancer tissue and the pork liver represents the normal tissue. So while we are cutting through, then the smoke actually goes into the instrument. Okay, so when we cut into the pork, which represents healthy tissue.
That's amazing. That's so clear for a surgeon to see that that is healthy. So then when you cut into the chicken...
I'm cutting into the chicken, which represents the cancerous tissue, and then you can see that.
So this is real-time feedback to the surgeons as they're doing the operation. Where do you see this going in, say, 20 years' time?
The next step would be one goes to hospital with a little lump, and the MR instrument would tell immediately that, yeah, this is a cancer, and then one just go to next door in the same hallway and get a minimally invasive robotic surgery, and then go home, and if feeling good enough, then go out for dinner.
This is amazing! My God, the future is very bright. I mean, it's not bad now. Zoltán is, I mean, fascinating. Thanks to the people like Zoltán and the thousands of other people who work in this field, I think the gut-wrenching fear of the C cancer word, I don't think it'll exist in the future. I think it'll be chalked up to history. And that's really exciting.
It's a dark morning, and Sarah climbs into the back of a cab wearing a pink woolen hat. Graham gets in after her and shuts the door behind himself.
Hi, can we go to the Royal Marsden, please?
Thank you.
You a bit nervous?
No, fine.
That's not an honest no.
So it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and today I'm going to have my operation. So I'm having a bilateral mastectomy, which is...
That's a double mastectomy in normal language, then.
Yeah, it's basically both boobs, you know, off. Yeah, they take out the insides and they leave what's called the envelope, which is basically the skin. And then I'm going for it's implants, that's what they call them.
Is it wrong that I'm quite excited about today? Everyone else is going to think that that's because you're going to come back with porn star boobs. That's not what I meant. I'm just kind of think that it's kind of, this is the last...
It's just honest, Graham, it's just honest.
Yeah. But this is sort of the last bit of the whole process.
It is. Hi, honey.
Hello, Mother.
Are we feeling ready for the op?
I'm so, so ready.
It's going to be, I'm going to get a really good day's sleep. I'll text you later, although you never reply to my text anyway, but I'll text you later.
Well, right, bye, Mum.
Love you very much.
It's going to be fine. Bye-bye, Mama.
Right, you ready?
Yeah, let's go.
Are there dark moments when you... You know, do you wake in the night? Is it times when
what the person that you've been the best part of married to, the mother of your four children, and before you know, when everything's fine, are there sleepless nights? Fuck yes, there are sleepless nights.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's horrible.
Graham gets out of the cab after Sarah, and they climb a set of steps leading up to a revolving glass door. Wearing a dark pink hat that covers her ears, Sarah's propped up in bed at home, filming herself.
It's now 8 days since my op, and it's kind of worse than I thought it was going to be. It really hurts a lot, and it really hurts sort of under your arms and around your back, and sort of everything hurts, to be honest. Thank goodness for codeine and paracetamol and ibuprofen.
It's March 2023, and Sarah, whose hair has started to grow back, is in her greenhouse.
So it's been 4 weeks since my operation, and I'm just starting to feel a bit better now. It's been a lot harder than I realised, to be honest. So I've now got my fake boobs in. I mean, they're pretty similar to the old ones, actually. They just took the old ones out of the inside and stuck some new innards in. It's like re-stuffing a cushion. Apart from the fact that these ones feel a bit like memory foam, which is a bit weird. I mean, they're actually similar, apart from the fact that when you lie down, they don't kind of fall to the sides at all. They just stay there like Alicia beacons. If I'm honest, I consider this to be the end point. I mean, it sort of does go on, because I'm meant to be taking drugs for the next 5 or 10 years, but I need this to be the end. I need it to be the end for me, and I need it to be the end for the kids and Graham and our family, and we just need to get on with having fun and enjoying every day and moving forward in a non-cancer world.
It is something that a whole family goes through together. Cancer became our normality for a while, but I'm really looking forward to getting back to the old normality, which was a lot more fun.
Thanks, guys, for looking after me.
To a good head of hair.
The last couple of months have been challenging for me, so I can't think how they've been for Mum. But I think to anyone else out there, whose mum or someone they love is going through this. I feel like you just got to stay strong and get through the hard bits and you'll be fine.
Let the cats come to join us.
4 a.m.
I think I'm quite looking forward to having kind of my regular mum back.
Making this documentary, it's enabled me to really dig deep into what my mother went through 40 years ago, and the chances of surviving breast cancer have doubled in the last 40 years, and that only gets better and better the more that is understood. So many people are so scared. It's that fear that keeps a lot of people away from going and checking things out and getting treatment. So trust your body and go and get it checked out at a proper breast clinic. If you get the diagnosis that I got 8 months ago, my message would be just don't be afraid, because amazing people are doing amazing things and the outlook is getting better every day.
These days won't last forever. It might feel like they will, as if time is standing still. But you know it will get better. Things will always move along, as if nothing here was wrong.